of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And
let's pray. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
How are you all doing today? Did you have a good week? Did you finish school up this week?
No.
No?
So
no. You still have stuff going on? We're almost done.
Not the end of school yet.
Oh,
July 21.
Wait,
that's June
21. Huh? Okay. So you still got some time. Well, today is the 50th day after Jesus was raised. We call it Pentecost, and Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50.
Almost 2 months.
Yeah, almost 50 days. Yeah. So that's why we're wearing red today, because red is the color of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah,
not half red. That's all right, because God created all the colors, right? You know, so.
I red.
But God also speaks all the
language.
Oh, that's okay, though. Blue is and red go together. God created all the colors of the world. Hey, we're doing children's sermon now. So. But God also speaks all the languages of the world. Did you know that?
African-American?
Yeah. He speaks Afrikaans, he speaks English, he speaks
Spanish.
All the languages, Spanish. Do any of you know how to speak Spanish?
Even
just a little bit?
Language that nobody speaks anymore.
That's right. Even languages that nobody speaks anymore, God can speak those. So today, when God came down in the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come down. And you know what happened?
What?
All the apostles that were filled with the Holy Spirit started to speak all the languages that God knows as well, even languages that they didn't know.
I know Spanish.
Yeah?
Everybody knows Spanish. Pollo, chicken.
Pollo. Pollo is chicken.
So we all know almost Spanish because most people, a couple people here,
that's right.
Spanish.
What?
It's important to know some of these languages too, right?
What does the claw have to do with it, though?
Oh. She just has the claw today, but another extension of the Holy Spirit.
Yay!
So ultimately, what we learn from God is that that the gospel can speak to all of us in our own language. God comes to us in Jesus in the Spirit that is promised, so that we too can go out and spread the message in other languages. Do you know what God is telling us in other languages too? I love you. Do you know any other ways to say I love you in other languages? In Spanish, it's...
I know
Te amo.
Te amo. Well, but still, that's good. That's a good start. But God tells us he loves us. And that is the thing that we need to take through the Holy Spirit today. And so why we wear red? Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we know God loves us. And we know that God comes down to us and speaks our language. Shall we pray? Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have promised us your Spirit, and the Spirit has come down and giving us the language of your gospel to speak to all people throughout the world. Continue to speak to us comfort and strength as we go out into the world, and keep us together with all of your people. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I promised you could take the Bible out today, so I will give that to you. There you go. All right, off you go. I think you have something surprised for you in the parking lot today.
So. The first reading is a reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound, like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Daughters.
Oh, the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. Look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, to another, the discernment of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel for this Pentecost Sunday, the 20th chapter, comes from the Gospel of John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
To you and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy birthday. It is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. How old are you now? Well, somewhere near 2,000 years, is depending when you start the counting from. And we've got these marvelous stories that on this day in Pentecost, when the disciples met their Lord again, and he was among them, that the Holy Spirit came upon them like a mighty wind and like tongues of fire. Let's run with the wind today. A poem. Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you. But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the leaves bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. So here we are today, leaves. Leaves on the tree of the church, announcing the Spirit coming through us here. You probably know already that in Hebrew, the Hebrew word can be translated as either wind or spirit or breath. It is the same word. In Hebrew, it is ruach. When you say that, you actually make a little wind because it's that guttural sound. Try that with me. Ruach. One more time. Ruach. That's the name of the Spirit. It is also the first name of God in the Scripture. Genesis 1, the Ruach is hovering over the waters. The Spirit, the breath of God, is hovering over the waters before creation. The Hebrews like to think of God as the wind, the Spirit. That's unusual for all the peoples that lived around them. They had gods too, and their gods, they wanted to be represented somehow in concrete things like the moon or the sun or the mountains or idols that they made. Jews forbid that. You shall not make idols of God. And therefore, the best description they had of God is like the wind. What wonderful language. A powerful force, and yet invisible, as it's all around us. Try this for a minute with me. I'm going to read a little bit from the psalm we read today, 104. But what I want you to do first, I want you to take a deep breath and hold it, and hold up your hand at the same time. And then I'm going to read, well, hang on for a minute. Then I'm going to read and keep your hand up until you have to take a breath, and then put your hand down. We'll kind of see how long most of us can hold on to our breath. Okay, you ready? So, deep breath in, hands up. Psalm 104, it begins this way, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then it goes on, You, Lord, ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messenger. All your creatures look to you to give them their food in due seasons. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. Keep them up a little bit, those of you who still got them up there. They say supposedly about 3 minutes is as long as you can go without breathing. We've still got a few hangers in there. Maybe a little bit longer for some that are practiced. That's how God is, the Jews said. One who is invisible, and yet we cannot live without him, much like our breath is. So they describe God as the wind. When those first disciples are gathered, as we read about today, they are scared to death. Their Lord, their teacher, had been put to death. They were afraid of those powers that put him to death. They could end his breath. And everybody's hand is down now. We had a couple of takers on for quite a while there. They were scared that they could lose their breath, so to speak. And they were puzzled. They had heard, many of them, of this Jesus rising again. And they didn't know what that meant. What was that going to mean for the way that they lived? And then God came to them as ruach, as wind, as breath. And in some ways that must have felt familiar, because they already knew the story of the ruach upon the water, how God comes as a spirit. And we're told it comes as a mighty wind, a powerful wind. What a marvelous image. If I understand right, I'm going to be quoting some facts here, and I know there are a couple of scientists in the congregation here. If you need to do any fact-checking, you can do that with me as we go along here. But I understand that we have 11 miles of atmosphere over us, 11 miles of air that are over us. It creates the illusion of a beautiful blue sky, but we know if you get outside of that, it's no longer blue, it turns black. So it's a wonderful illusion for us to live in this beautiful blue sky. That's not quite apparent yet this morning with the marine layer that's up there. And who among us doesn't know how refreshing that breeze is when you're sitting out on your porch or in your backyard on a hot and humid day? We know how refreshing that is. And on the other hand, we know about powerful winds. Any of you from the Midwest or from the South, you heard of these things called tornadoes? Some of us have lived through those powerful forces of the wind. Sri Lanka this past week had a cyclone, and lots of damage was done there. You no doubt have watched some of those photos, satellite photos, of New Orleans and of the East Coast in the midst of a hurricane. A hurricane can be thousands of miles wide. What powerful winds they generate. Scientists would say wind is the most powerful force on the earth. Scientists who are here, you can check me on that, but I believe it. And the scripture knows that. The scripture says, when it unleashes its power, Lord, who can stand? No wonder that those before us saw God as this powerful wind. We are tempted, I think, to think of that powerful wind as a destructive force. Somehow it is evil. Even in the scriptures, we often interpret that as God's anger, God's wrath with us. Any of you meteorologists in this congregation? No? They would look at that entirely differently. It's not about wrath or anger. It is about balance in the world. It's the world trying to balance between dry and wet and between hot and cold. It is a natural function of nature. And sometimes we get caught in the midst of it. We've learned all too clearly in some ways that we, us people, can help enhance that imbalance and make those mighty winds even stronger these days. So here's Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them like a mighty wind. But they don't experience it as God's wrath or God's anger. They experience it as full of grace and truth, full of gifts for the people of God. It's almost like a good news hurricane happening in that one. If you read more of that story, it says, and that very day, 3,000 joined their numbers. A hurricane of good news that was happening there. Because I think it was familiar to them. They recalled that ruach upon the water. They knew that that spirit had been there. They had seen it before in their teacher, Jesus. At his baptism, we're told, the spirit, the breath, the wind descended upon Jesus. And then there's that passage in Luke where Jesus opens the scripture, the first time he's preaching, in a sense, in the synagogue. And what does he say? What does he read? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The wind, the breath, the Ruach of God is upon me. And then Jesus doesn't just read that lesson. He breathes it in. He lets it into himself. This time, you don't have to hold up your hand or hold your breath. I do want you to take a deep breath. I'm going to read that passage from Luke. And I want you to breathe in the words as you're getting. So beware of your breathing. Breathe in and breathe out slowly. It goes like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then in the lesson today, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, as the Father has been upon me in that breath, so I send you, so I have filled you this day to be what you just breathed in. So take another deep breath in for a minute. And you let that one go. Did you put that air there? It is a gift. It's a gift from the one that we know of that was the Ruach upon the waters originally. We know it is the Ruach that was upon Jesus and that now comes to us. We know that it is essential for life. Without it, we would die. Just as God is essential to life. Take one more deep breath. Did you make that air that you just breathed? Of course we didn't. It was trees and plants. And my learning in the last couple of years has been algae that produce almost, perhaps more oxygen than the trees do. They are gifts of the Spirit, Ruach, to you. Paul today in his lesson reminds us of the gifts of the Spirit that he gives out. He forgets to mention trees and the sea, who are abundant in gifts that we lack and that we cannot produce. When you breathe in, you are breathing oxygen in. Every cell in your body needs that oxygen to live. You can't live without it. When you breathe out, you're breathing out carbon dioxide, which is poisonous. If you only had that to breathe, you would die within 5 minutes, probably, at that point. But we breathe out that carbon dioxide, that poison, and what happens? Trees, plants, take what is poisonous to us, and through marvelous processes of nature, convert that to oxygen. Isn't that in itself a resurrection story? Taking that which kills us and by which we would die and converting it into what gives us life. Can you do that? That's something plants and trees and the sea, the algae that are there, can do. Someone said they liked the fact that I gave you a homework assignment last week to read all of John 17. Go home this week and read all of chapter 104 of the psalm. Read the entire psalm. It is a creation psalm. We have Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, two creation stories. We've got another one, Psalm 104, which we only read part of it today. It's amazing when the Gospel of John says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We tend to think that means people. It means us. God loved us. Therefore, he gave his son. What if God really meant it? I so love this world that I'm giving my son to you. I've been reading a little bit lately on environment. Maybe some of you have as well, given the circumstances of what's around us. I learned that scientists estimate that at the time of the dinosaurs, 35% of our atmosphere was oxygen. Today, it's about 21%. In some of the big urban areas of our world, it is more like 12 to 15% oxygen. Compared to 10,000 years ago, we have half of the forest that we used to have. Those trees that produce oxygen. And those phytoplankton, those little algae that are in the sea that know how to make this marvelous gift of oxygen, they say in the last 60 years, their population has been reduced by 40%. Pentecost, I think, is as much about trees and oceans as it is about us, the people of God. It is how God breathes life into us, both the life of the Spirit, but the Spirit is breath. It is the wind that surrounds us. I don't think it's any accident that one of the last verses of the Bible, the last chapter of Revelation, it says, the leaves of the trees are for the healing of nations. I don't think that's just an alliteration. I think it's quite literal in many ways. Also maybe meant in a much broader sense, but quite literally, a way in God, in which God breathes into us is the creation, the trees, the very things that are here with us. This cross that I like wearing is indeed designed like a cross, but if you get a chance to look at it when you come up for communion, it is also the tree of life, equating the cross, Jesus' death there, being for all creation, not just for us as God's people. You got to hear in the lesson today from Acts 2. It is St. Peter's first sermon. I don't know, Vicar Thomas, have you preached yet?
Not yet,
not here, otherwise, right? So you're going to get to hear his first sermon. You can compare it to Peter's when he gets up there, whenever that happens, right? What was that? And in that, when he quotes Joel, this marvelous passage, it says, I will pour out my spirit, my breath, my ruach, on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, young men will see visions, and the old men will dream dreams. One of the gifts that comes upon you is prophecy. And where does that verse from Joel point when you're supposed to prophesy? To creation. I will put portents and signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. You need to know how to read those signs. And then not to speak words of condemnation and judgment, wrath, but rather words of hope and good news, that hurricane of good news that happens at Pentecost. Pentecost is about creation and the breath of God upon all of us. Take one more deep breath in. I'll leave it out. I have to tell you, this could be distressing to some of you. You're breathing the same air that the people next to you breathed just a minute ago. In fact, you're breathing the same air that's been around for a millennium. There is a good chance that a little bit of that breath you just breathed in was part of the ancient church. It may even be part of Jesus' breath that we just took in. And we know that whatever we do to that air has consequences for everybody else. We know that about pollution. I think what Pentecost is here to tell us, it's just as true with good news. When you do those little things of stewardship of the creation, of preserving and honoring that breath of God in our world, that is felt throughout the world. Just like in today's lesson, if you read the rest of second chapter of Acts, where the Spirit comes upon them, the consequence on those disciples, it's as though they are shaking leaves, and the way they shake is described this way. Awe came upon them, they sold their possessions, they held all in common, they looked after each other's needs, they broke bread together and ate with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, the Lord added to their number. To preach at St. Peter's, because your church is designed like a ship, like a boat. Obvious here. Lots of churches actually have that as their motto. I don't know if any of you come from Danish background. In Danish tradition, lots of churches, they have a ship hanging in the, usually from the rafters, as a reminder that a symbol of the church. There's somebody? Oh, there is. Oh, is broader than the Danish background. If you've been to some of the Danish churches, they have elegant, elaborate ships there. That has been a symbol of the church for centuries. That was created before we had engines, when you had to depend solely on the power of the wind to move this incredibly big ship along where you wanted to get to. This powerful wind, mighty wind that we're told about today, is not a threat to us. In fact, it is good news to us. It is a mighty wind that has come upon us. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he's with his disciples in a boat and a storm comes up, he says, "Fear not." When he's risen from the dead and the disciples don't know what to make of it, he says to them, "Fear not. For the wind has come, put up your sails. It is time to catch the spirit that is before you." And I think that's what's given to us today. Put up your sails, St. Peter's, and the church, everywhere in the world, to catch that holy wind of the Spirit that includes not only people around the world, but all of God's creation. So I encourage you on this Pentecost to shake like a leaf, according to that poem that we read. Shake like a leaf that gives indication of how the Spirit is passing through you. You as an individual and you as the church. How this Ruach has again come upon us with gifts of the Spirit and gifts of creation to bring us to the fullness of life in God's good and loved world. Amen.